Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, the Scope is back. 168. Is that correct? 168, Adam.
168.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep cruising along, guys.
We do.
We're like a locomotive.
Chugga chugga choo.
Going down the stairs.
What?
To your heart, I don't know. Going down the track. I don't know. What the hell? Oh. That's it. So we are back, guys. Oscars are over.
What a show.
What
guys,
a show.
I told you that I was gonna be right.
You were right.
That was right.
That I possibly won.
We'll see. And what about all that stuff going on in the Ukraine this week?
Oh, my God.
I just read recently that it's actually, they take it as an offense when you call it the Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
It's just Ukraine?
So just don't do that.
In Ukraine?
I know we have a huge Ukrainian audience, and we don't want to lose them.
I think when it comes to Ukraine, let's just see where things go. Let's not get into it too in-depth right now. And the same with the Oscars. I mean,
there's been huge developments in the last week. Yeah. So, but
and cooler heads are going to prevail when it comes to the Oscar issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
no doubt
we'll breach that topic in a couple of weeks. We'll come back to it. I'm very excited about this show. We've got our world famous nerd roundtable coming up, and that means
everything's world famous. I
it
love
is.
It. Well,
nationally famous,
it's like
regionally
the,
famous.
You know, you ever see like world's best steakhouse?
Yeah,
like they're average. Like there's no governing body over the world's famous or world's best.
It's
so
like
I think
Elf,
it's
world's we're just, best cup of coffee.
We're just protecting our trademark.
We are
world's famous. Whatever
nerd
we
roundtable.
I think Famous Amos already has his famous trademark.
Yeah,
probably.
Hmm. What about candy? Can we get that into there somewhere? Can we trademark candy?
Let's hope that they don't. The makers of Candy Crush don't come up with a famous cookie game. Because Famous Amos is going to have some trouble then.
Oh, my goodness. That would be very exciting to see.
Yeah, it would be. It would be great.
It would be super.
Great.
So since Nerd Roundtable is coming up, let's not get into a lot of stuff ahead of the show, guys.
Okay.
Let's save it for...
Let's not front load it? You don't want to front load it?
No front loading.
Okay.
We're going to middle load this bitch right up.
Middle load. I like it.
Jared can talk about maybe his favorite PlayStation game.
You're really trying to keep that one going, aren't you? Right.
My favorite PlayStation is the little shrine I have set up in my bedroom.
Wow.
To St. Nicholas.
Nice.
And I kneel down there every night.
And what do you pray to St. Nicholas?
I say, dear St. Nicholas, please give me the strength and wisdom to finally beat BioShock Infinite. And also the time, because I just can't seem to get back to it.
What is Nicholas the saint, patron saint of?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Video
jelly
games,
beans,
I assume.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Pennies, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So you should be patron saint of nickels.
I should probably come
pennies.
Up with a different saint then.
Yeah.
Really. I don't know. What do you want from me? Patron saint of broccoli.
Patron saint Jill Saint John from. That's old school. Sorry. All right, nerd roundtable. We got that coming up. We've got coming soon. And we've got a lot of antics. That's the goal of this show. It's the
antics.
It's all antics.
I didn't
here.
Sign up for antics.
Well, get ready,
I'm
brother.
Very anti-antic.
Get ready. Antics are coming. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. More 168 Scope coming soon. Nerd Roundtable after this.
Attention fans of funny music. The first ever comedy music convention is here with performances by Carrie Dalby,
Devo Spice,
Garden Fresh,
The Great Luke Ski,
Tony Goldmark,
Matt Griffo,
Dan Hart,
Insane Ian,
Phil Johnson,
Pasa Velasco,
Power Salad,
Raymond and Scum,
Sea Monkey,
Tom Smith,
and Worm Quartet.
And presenting this year's special guest of honor, legendary radio personality Dr. Demento. Funkfest is taking place June 20th through 22nd at the Westin North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, just outside Chicago. Tickets for the weekend are just $35 until March 31st. Join us for live concerts,
panels,
Dr. Demento's Festival of Dementia,
Demented Karaoke,
a Q&A with Meet Morph Studios,
and the 4th Annual Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music, hosted by Dr. Demento.
Hi, this is Dr. Demento. Come join me and my friends from the Fump at FumpFest this June in Chicagoland.
Visit FumpFest.com to register for the event and reserve your hotel now. That's FumpFest.com. Foink.
Thank you.
Hey, Scope fans. We are back, 168. And by the way, before we get into Nerd Roundtable.
Yes.
That is my favorite Frump commercial.
Because Dr. Demento is live in it?
I just think that it's the best.
It's for Frump Fest.
It's good.
That's okay.
They do a good job on it. I like the music choice in the background.
Well, you can congratulate Devo Spice for that.
Way to
put it together.
Way to go, Devo Spice.
Yeah.
But now let's turn our attention to the Nerd Round Table.
It doesn't look very round, Shane.
It isn't. It's a bit rectangular.
Yes. Oh, my.
Yes. We've got a lot of nerdy things to talk about.
I look forward to it.
Let's start with something that's happening or has happened, Jared.
Yes.
MarsCon.
Mm-hmm.
Since you've already played.
Yes.
Can you give us a preview of what you might play?
Instruments. We'll play instruments.
Do you have something special planned?
Yes,
how about that?
We do. I'm not at liberty to divulge it.
Even though it's already happened.
Yes. Because technically you haven't experienced it yet.
What time is it at, Jared?
We performed at 9 p.m. Friday, March 7th.
This is very confusing.
This episode will be released 2 days, no, 3 days after we had performed. So it'll be released on the 10th of March.
I think you had a great show.
We'll see.
Adam, what do you think?
We'll see. It's sort of a brave choice that we made, and I think the audience went along for a ride.
I think that playing nude at first was a shock.
Mm-hmm. It was a shock.
But then people it really fit in appropriately. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we were flying in the face of several Bloomington city ordinances.
Literally. Body parts were flying
in
the face.
Well, and there was the wire work. I mean, that was something we really...
Is this sort of like Crouching Tiger?
Yes.
Where you're hopping on top of trees?
Yes.
Bamboo trees?
We had real-time line, you know, wire removal process, so you couldn't tell.
Wow.
It was amazing.
You're cutting edge.
Well, you know, it's MarsCon. It's our home con. We like to pull out all the stops.
Question.
Yes.
Will there be new songs? Was there new songs? Can you answer
new
that?
New to us.
Hmm.
It was new to us.
So there's going to be a lot of Miley Cyrus covers.
Okay. Yes.
I like that.
We're doing a Miley Cyrus covering other people.
Jared's going to crash his wrecking balls into the drummer, Jeff.
Indeed. We did her cover of Outkast's Hey Ya.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Costumes? Yes or no?
No costumes. We did not do any costumes. Ran out of time. You're spending an awful lot of time on this segment for something
curious.
That's already happened. Nobody cares.
Let me talk more about MarsCon. Let's open
it up. What else is going
on? This year, Adam, MarsCon is being moved to the Convergence location.
Yes.
Controversy.
The Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington.
Even though it's already happened, Jared, let's pretend like it hasn't.
Okay.
Good or bad move?
It seemed like a good move initially, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think some of the stuff that's happened in the interim might have made it a bad move.
Let's bring our audience up to speed.
Okay. And I don't know.
What's happened?
This is all just what we've figured out and what's been publicly put out there on Facebook and other venues. We're not part of the MarsCon ConCom staff in any way. So this is purely speculation based on available information. I believe they were forced to move regardless. The former home, the Crown Plaza in Bloomington, they wanted to raise their rates way up. Either because they wanted to make more money or because they didn't want MarsCon there anymore. Regardless, more money.
What would be the reason?
You mean irregardless.
It's not a word.
Irregardless is a word. It shouldn't be used.
I just wanted to say it.
So if a word exists but shouldn't be used, is it still a word?
Well, right? Language is a...
It's an ever-evolving beast.
It's like buffoonery.
Unlike human beings now.
Right.
Go ahead, Jared.
So they were going to move anyway. So I guess the logical home is a hotel that hosts the bulk of the local conventions throughout the year.
They've already got the plastic tarps they can put up and everything to contain the mess.
Right. The only issue is moving to the Doubletree is it's a much, much bigger hotel.
It's a much
and
bigger
MarsCon
space.
MarsCon is an 800 to 900 person convention, if past is prologue, as it were.
Wow, listen to this guy. He's a freaking poet.
Whereas the Doubletree is probably better suited to 2,000 plus. So, you know, you're looking at a fewer people. So they ran into an issue where the hotel apparently got a last-minute offer from, like, a taxidermy/animal conservation convention.
God, I cannot wait for this mix.
They came in with an offer to basically buy up all of the cabana rooms around the pool. Now, the cabana rooms are what make sort of the great party atmosphere at these conventions at this hotel, because you've got two floors of cabanas surrounding the pool area.
It's like you made a giant donut.
Just titties everywhere.
And yeah. at a bigger convent, like
and,
Convergence.
And that's just the dudes.
Right. At a bigger convention like Convergence, it's just a late night party atmosphere.
It's a party zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everyone's got, you know, their balconies are open and it's great.
You remember that old TV show Dance Party USA on the USA Network?
No. Nope.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
You mean USA
as recreated on SNL.
Yeah, you see that on SNL? Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So when you have a bigger con, it's a great, great atmosphere. It's really fun to be at. I remember when MarsCon was at this hotel their first year, and you couldn't barely even tell a con was going on. It was like...
Was I there, Jared?
Did you come to the first Nick Adams show back in the...
I'm sure I did. Yeah, yes, yeah. I was there. Yeah.
I mean, you
it
could
a long time
you
ago.
Couldn't really tell that there was a convention going on. But MarsCon was probably half, if not smaller than it is now. So
it was our friends and then a couple guys with badges. That was
I'm guessing that it'll make a bigger splash at this hotel. But the fallout from this conservation convention wanting to buy up the rooms is that the party rooms got split into two zones. Now there's an L shape. I've seen the map. It's second floor, MarsCon, the usual con suite leg. That they've got that whole arm and then they've got another arm off of it, sort of an L shape. So that's the main zone. That's where the con suite's going to be, and that's where a lot of the parties are going to be. But some of the other parties are going to be relocated to the North Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which floor. But.
And only access with a couple of elevators, right? So that's a trick.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be that big a deal.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, you do. It's not like, whereas the cabana rooms, there's stairs access. You don't need to use the elevators to get to it.
Yeah.
The party rooms on the North Tower are on like the fifth or sixth floor, and you have to use the elevator. Now, to be fair, in the past, the parties have all been up on the 13th floor of the Crown Plaza, so you know.
But
you
there's six elevator access to that, or five elevator access to that.
So it remains to be seen. A lot of the other function space for MarsCon is in the North Tower, so that's where main stage is, art show, a lot of the panel rooms are all over there. So, I don't know, it's going to be kind of a weird vibe. Yep. Not only is it a smaller con in a big hotel, but it's also the nightlife is split into two zones, so we'll see.
This MarsCon not being bigger than what it is always very confusing to me, considering how good a business Convergence does.
Yeah.
You would think that a convention that is essentially the same thing, people can complain, but I mean, for the most part, there's a tremendous amount of overlap that you would not be able to get more people. Maybe it's the season. I just don't know. It's always sort of been a head-scratcher to me.
I don't know if it's something where they intentionally don't want it to get bigger. Yeah. Because, you're right. I feel like if they wanted to put the effort into promoting it and making it be bigger, they could potentially do that. But it's also up against, you know, in a few weeks, MiniCon, which I think is smaller than MarsCon. And there's some anime cons coming up. There's a lot of stuff in the late winter, early spring. So maybe it's just too much competition.
And maybe MarsCon skews a bit older. I don't know for sure.
It does. I don't know. Yeah. But it feels like they've sort of hit the, like I said, the 800 to 900 people range, and I don't know that they're going to get bigger than that. Or I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have to see.
But
we already have seen.
I always thought
we're really having a hard time wrapping our heads around it.
I always thought that the move to the DoubleTree was a move to make that growth.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what they want to do or not.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. And who knows? They may be in it, given what happened at this hotel. They may end up at a different hotel next year.
Yeah. Well, we will have to wait and see, Jared. Great show.
Adam didn't have anything to say about it.
Adam doesn't go to these things.
I know.
He's too busy hanging out with his hipsters going to...
Mike Birbiglia shows.
Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, and any sort of weird comedic shows.
Was that a good show?
What are those called?
That was a real good show.
Yeah.
What are those called, by the way? Those wits or whatever?
Yeah.
You go to those things?
I don't know if wits is a hipster thing.
Oh, it's a hipster thing.
I see a lot of old people there.
Mm. It's a, yeah.
The original hipsters, I guess.
The original hipsters. You said it. Topic 2.
Topic 2.
This week, hot new video game comes out.
Mm.
Titanfall.
Titanfall was my hit it or miss it pick last week.
Question.
The game's out, right? You've played it a lot.
No, last week was Jarrett's or was Adam's pick. That's your pick for this week.
It comes out tomorrow.
Whoops.
It comes out tomorrow.
So let's talk about this game.
Go ahead.
Adam and I have had a chance to play it.
Yes.
We both got in on the beta.
How hard was that to do?
It was zero hard.
You just sign up and like, oh, you're in. All right.
Well, eventually they gave access to everyone with an Xbox One.
So I signed up.
Oh, okay.
I signed up for it, sort of, an
exclusive group. Yeah. But.
And I signed up for it. I was rejected, or not rejected. I just didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I got in on it. I got a code. And then the next day, they said everybody could play.
Yeah. So you were special for less than a day.
And I played the PC beta.
Let's talk about the origins of Titanfall.
All right.
Go ahead.
It is on Origin.
Nice.
It is an EA game. It's from the same studio that made Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare.
They left
and
Activision.
Modern Warfare 2, yes. Like, almost immediately after Modern Warfare 2 came out,
yeah.
The two main guys were like, peace out. You guys aren't giving us the right amount of money.
Where do they rank in the pantheon of Call of Duty developers?
People would, I guess, view them as
the best, right?
The best ones.
Okay. Yeah.
Infinity Ward.
Modern Warfare changed the game from World War II to modern days.
Because
people love Modern Warfare.
The things that they included in their multiplayer is completely changed all multiplayer games, and still does, like with their perk system, and basically they introduced role-playing game mechanics and a gear treadmill into it to keep people kind of playing and unlocking stuff over and over.
You're correct,
again.
Sir.
So they left. They formed their own studio. That was probably 4 years ago, five years ago. And they said, we're going to work on something new. And no one heard anything for a long time. Maybe last E3, they finally said, it's a mech shooter. Here it is.
Cool.
And it is an Xbox
and PC exclusive. Yes. And not even just one of these like timed exclusives. They have said, this game will not come out on the PlayStation consoles. Now, maybe that just means kind of like Mass Effect, where it's like, this game won't, but the next one will, or whatever.
Yeah.
But there is an Xbox 360 version coming out 2 or 3 weeks later, which everyone's like all conspiracy theorizing. It's like, oh, Microsoft's paying them to not have it come out on the 360 so that people buy Xbox One.
Well, maybe. Maybe they are. It's their system.
They're probably paying them to do Xbox exclusive too. So
yeah.
So
guess what? It's a business, guys.
Titanfall takes the mechanics of Modern Warfare, mixes in giant mechs, and then makes your non-mech player, when he's not in a mech, run around and bounce off walls like crazy.
And it also includes aspects from MOBAs, which are games like.
Is that like Mobisodes?
Like Dota.
What does that mean? It's like you're having a stroke right now.
We need some CPR.
You know how you kill a lot of people?
Yeah.
So there are bots.
Computer-controlled characters.
Yeah, there are. They're called creeps in these types of games. And killing them is really easy to do. And it reduces the amount of time you have to wait to call down your giant mech again. And
you just die a lot, because that's what happens to me, even with these characters in there.
Okay. Yeah. You die a lot, but it doesn't matter because every 2 minutes you get to call down a giant mech, and even if you're terrible, that's pretty cool because if for nothing else, there's different animations for you getting in the mech, and one of them is the mech grabs you, opens its chest cavity up, and then sits you in it, and that's awesome.
Whoa. Now, I've not played, but I've watched people play it on YouTube, and it looks pretty cool.
Yep.
So we've played it.
Yes.
What say you, Adam?
I thought it was an incredibly enjoyable game. It's only 6-on-6, which a lot of people have kind of, thought is a little weird because the maps are, there are only two maps in the beta.
Yep.
But it was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And it's online only. There's no single player.
There is a campaign mode, but it is an online campaign mode.
Okay.
So theoretically, you'd play with your friends or other people that are just playing the campaign also.
Okay.
But yeah, if you unplug if you disconnect from your network, I think you can't play.
Mm-hmm. The stakes are high for Microsoft with this game.
Yeah.
Microsoft currently is losing the total sales for the next generation system by about a million plus.
Ouch.
So in releasing this game this week, they have a new bundle in America, which allows you to get Titanfall as a downloadable copy for $500. With the system. Okay. So essentially you're getting a $60 game free.
And a month of
Xbox Live. And in the UK, they're actually doing a price drop and bundling this game in to try to get excitement brewing again for the Xbox One. Adam, is it going to work?
I don't know.
It's a risky gambit.
It's sure.
Actually, I don't think it's risky at all, but I think that it's something they have to do.
Right.
Is Titanfall a million system seller?
I think that's the question. I think, do enough people know, this is from the Modern Warfare guys?
Been a lot of advertisements,
almost none. So there was a lot of people saying right before the beta came out, we haven't heard anything. This game's going to suck. Like, yeah. They would be pushing it out there stronger. And then, you know, maybe they're like, oh, we should probably do something. Let's do a beta. But it's, I mean, that was like a PR demo. That wasn't that wasn't a beta. But the servers, other than like they took them down the first night to do some work on them. The servers were rock solid the whole time,
and like, that's what they need.
Yeah, they especially with Battlefield 4 still being broken 4 months after release.
Yeah, with patches, something else breaks.
Yep, they need it to be solid. It's it's another EA game. And EA does not have a very good track record.
Yeah, SimCity had. Yeah. I mean, they've largely fixed the SimCity stuff now, but
this is kind of a unique console cycle for us, right? Because we have not had the two big ones come out at the same time. And you've got
Titanfall coming out for the 360, which is a bit of a head scratcher to me. But I think it's more about the bottom line.
From who? Head scratcher for who?
I just think that if you want people to play this game on the Xbox One, you release it on the Xbox One. You don't release it on the
But EA wants more people to buy it.
That's I was going to say. It all comes down to dollars.
Yeah,
that's sure, a dollars decision.
Yeah.
This game is supposed to be the first real next gen game.
Yep.
This is supposed to be the system seller. It's always been positioned as that.
Right.
And then Sony's got their sequel to Infamous coming out.
Okay.
But even that one's got even less talk about it.
Yep.
Which I don't think that is as intriguing as this one.
Right.
Maybe it'll be better. I don't know. But I just think it's amazing how hubris and dollars really impacted Microsoft on this when they had it. It was theirs to lose.
I think, yeah.
It's theirs to lose, and they did. And
all they had to do was when they announced the system, announce it as it actually released, and not all of the crap in the middle about, that limited people's ability to use the system in the way they wanted, and it probably would have been fine.
Do you think,
I think it's
average video game guy at home even heard about that stuff? Like, that's the part I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, the whole, when you buy the game, you own it. They made it seem like you wouldn't be able to resell it back to GameStop.
Yeah.
Even if you I don't even know if people.
It was national news.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is that Sony beat them on price with and everyone ties it into the Kinect, which you're paying $100 more for the Kinect, which they have still not really proven that this is something that is worth $100.
Right.
Especially from a video game standpoint, there's no games that use this.
Yeah, and that was
them. That's a killer. That hurts them.
I mean, their play is to have that connect in the system so that everyone has it, and then hopefully that encourages games to use it.
Yep.
If you get rid of the Kinect out of the Xbox One
package, or just knock $100 off,
they're either losing a lot of money or you're neutering the system as what it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? I mean, it has to be a price drop, I think. I think that you will see a $50 price drop at some point. But they stubbed their toe on this
they
one.
Do $100 or they do a $50 price drop, they are still the more expensive console.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to do...
And it's like you have to bundle a game and drop 50 bucks on it.
Yep.
Like, you need to have Titanfall for $450.
But by then, PlayStation will have their streaming service up where you can play PS1 and PS2 games. Yeah. For what seems like a subscription service. So they can argue, hey, remember all these PS1 games that you love?
Yeah.
They're going to look like shit. But
you can play them, though.
You can play them.
Who doesn't love classic Ratchet and Clank?
Exactly.
God damn it. Love it. I don't know.
Any quick question. Any word on co-op play between PC and Xbox, or are they walled gardens?
They are different
servers,
which is probably better because if someone playing with a keyboard and mouse.
That's true. I always forget about that. They're just the precision's there.
Yeah. I remember the Dreamcast. Remember the Dreamcast had that with Doom or Quake?
Yeah.
One of those?
It wasn't even close. I played with some of those people on there. It was rough going, trust me. But I think they actually, Dreamcast had a mouse that came out with it.
Yep.
You had a mouse.
Keyboard and mouse
you
could get.
And you could use a controller. You could use a mouse and a controller. You could hold it and move around. It was very difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see how this one plays out. I think for me, bottom line is I've got Titanfall pre-ordered for my Xbox One. It is a worthy game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It takes a lot of interesting standard first-person shooter stuff and adds like superhuman type stuff to it, giant robots. And when I was playing the beta, Jared, I'll close it out on this because Adam will know what I'm talking about and he can add in. But It's a good way to end it. So you're playing, and if your team, once you're done, once you reach the how many points you get to, there's an added thing at the end where the losing team has to try to escape to a drop ship.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning team has to destroy them before they get there.
Right.
So the first time I played this and it happened, our team lost, of course, and I didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, I'm running.
Was that a 13-year-old cursing you out for being a loser?
I'm in my mech, and I'm running for it, because they have like a little icon on the screen that sure. you can go to, and you know, dropship will be there in 10 seconds. So I'm running in my mech, and of course, everyone's swarming you to destroy you. So they destroy my ship, my mech, but they have like an ejection thing where you can eject out.
Yeah.
And so I'm ejecting, and then I'm flying through the air to get to this dropship. I get in there in time, and I'm sitting in the ship, and then they can actually see you, the people that are trying to shoot you down. They're shooting me inside the ship. They're right at the door. So I kill this guy who's trying to destroy me, and then we fly away. But I hear you can actually destroy the dropship
yes,
as it flies away.
I did
this
that
did not happen, but we escaped. But yeah. you can destroy that dropship.
Wow. Yeah. So just to add on to that, the part – so I almost pre-ordered the special Xbox One that yeah. comes with the
I think
Titanfall.
That's a good deal, by the way.
I do, too. It almost got me to do it, but then I was like, I can just play on my PC. It'll be fine. You can, when you eject and you go, you know, hundreds of feet up in the air, you can land on an enemy or a friendly mech. And if you're on an enemy mech, you actually can pull open the neck panel, mm-hmm. basically, and just start shooting away at it.
Yep.
And
you could do the same thing
up.
To them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if you land on a friendly mech? What can you do
you
there?
Can just, you're just riding on it, and you can shoot guys while you're on. And there's achievements
that.
For that. So,
never done that.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I've seen a lot of YouTube videos that show all these things. It's yeah. interesting. I've heard criticisms that it might be like a short game, like a limited, not very many maps, and so it
yeah.
might not have a lot of longevity. But
someone from NeoGAF managed to get into the files, and I think there are 12 or 13 maps.
That's plenty.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's pretty normal for...
And there are monsters in it, I hear.
Monsters?
They have, like, monsters.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Oh, some of the maps have, like...
I don't know if it's in the campaign or in the multiplayer, but there are monsters.
Interesting.
That's what I've heard. So, guys, last show we talked a little bit about the weather.
We did.
I want to give you guys some weather stats, and we can talk about this.
Great.
So, as of last week...
I mean, as we record this, or as, you know, as this episode airs, it's, like, 60 degrees.
It could be.
Completely about face.
Or it could still be cold. But for the Minneapolis area, we yeah. are... We're about around the fourth coldest on record. Fourth coldest winter on record.
Mm-hmm.
We've had at least 49 days this winter with temps below zero for lows, which is fifth all time, and I'm sure that'll probably go up. The average temperature for winter for us right now is 19, which is cold, especially for a lot of people that listen to our show. But
average for this season is 19.
For winter. Okay. It's 19 degrees.
For the 91 days of winter.
Yeah, and that's the normal average.
Right.
Right now, we're averaging slightly below 10.
Oh, jeez.
That's how much colder we are. And I would think that would actually be colder if we wouldn't have had like 5 days this winter where we were in the 30s and 40s.
Yep.
And
we've only had,
it's not like we have a few days where we're in our 20s.
And just a few weeks ago, we had two days in the 40s and then a drop into sub-zero.
Yep.
It was insane. And a killer snowfall.
71% of all temperatures, guys, between December and February were below average.
Wow.
When you add up all the hours below zero this winter, we're around 22 days.
Of the 91 days. Yes.
Yes.
So.
Well, it makes that freezer I put in the basement like a foolish endeavor.
Yes.
Because I just left everything outside.
Adam, you're not a homegrown Minnesota boy, but is this the worst winter you've ever
this
been?
This is easily the,
the worst
last
winter.
Last year sucked because we got snow all the way into like the end of April.
It was actually a decent winter until February.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
February, March, we got dumped on. And then it went February, March. No, I think it was March, April, May.
Yeah.
We had snow in May.
Yeah.
Because I had softball getting canceled.
And then we had a June that was well below, like 10 to 15 degrees below average. It was rainy and cold. We really didn't have a spring.
It wasn't even hot until like the end of August.
Yeah. It started getting warm right around convergence.
Yeah. Yep.
And
of course.
We were hot and boiling at convergence.
That's
seriously,
works.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
and that was July 4th. So,
but
go ahead, Adam.
It was annoying. That was it. Like it would snow you know, 3 or 4 inches, softball would get canceled, the last week of April. Yeah. That's like, what the hell is happening?
It wasn't,
but then it would melt or it would rain the next day.
So was the year before that, was that the year where we had a ton of snow?
Yes.
And then the year before that was the record warm.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
we had.
And it was a drought, practically. Yeah. Yeah. We had 6 inches of snow.
We haven't had a normal winter in years. Yeah. So anyway,
and,
sorry, Adam.
So, you know, people are like, oh, global warming's not a thing. It's like, no, this is exactly what's predicted. There's no more consistent, this is what winter is.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, we've had 4 different winters, like extremely different winters.
It's extremes of weather.
Yeah.
It could be.
The science is not rock solid, guys. Come on. Everybody knows right. that.
There are 5 scientists that disagree in mm-hmm. the whole world. So we have to keep
We don't know.
In
this
mind.
Is what it would have done. Yeah. Probably without any sort of human interference,
right.
guys.
Exactly.
Probably what happened.
The problem is that anyone who's like a denier and says, look how cold we are, global warming definitely isn't happening, forgets to look at the record insane temperatures that Australia was having at the same time.
Or Alaska.
Everywhere in the world is warmer except the Midwest and the East Coast.
And guess what?
Everywhere in the world it's above average except us.
The product of that warmth is a weakened jet stream, which then causes the polar vortex, which always exists.
Thank you, Al Roker.
The polar vortex descends into North America because of our weak jet stream. So,
suck it up.
It's
baby.
All related, guys. You can't just look at localized phenomena.
Jared, worst winter of your life?
I don't know. I can remember some pretty bad ones in the 70s, which is, I think, the last time we had 70, any sort of
77
weather.
77 to 79.
Yeah, I can remember some really horrific cold and snow. Definitely the worst of my adult life, where I've had to actually deal with it. It's terrible.
Usually in Minnesota, Adam, when we have these winters, it's one or the other. You have cold or you have snow. Because usually one blocks the other, mm-hmm. right? That's not the case with us. We get some, and then we get a warm day or a decent day, and then we get a foot of snow.
You call it a warm day when we're hitting 20.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's crazy. Like this week, we were at 17, and I was shoveling. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, when it was 17, it should have been 37, for the record. That's our average right now. We haven't seen 30s. We saw it a couple, like a week ago.
If there's one bright spot in our extreme cold of the season, it's the fact that cold has kept away some significant snowfall.
So we could be...
We have a lot of snow...
We're 16 inches above average in snow, but imagine what we could have had.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what parts south of us across the country have gotten. I mean, you hear about them, you just snowfall another 12 inches, and like, geez. And we don't get it because of our high-pressure cold keeping that away and keeping it south.
Yeah,
so,
I think I saw a stat where Philly, for instance, I think they average about 35 inches of snow for all of, I think it might be like 23. It was a very small amount of snow for the year. Mm-hmm. They're at like 60 inches, 57 mm-hmm. inches, and they're expected to get another, I think they got another foot or whatever it was. So, I mean, the East Coast is getting hammered.
Yep. So
As long as Kentucky gets it, I don't really care. But, sorry, I just get it. Tennessee, that's really where the anger is at. Yeah, I have to say for me that I've found that this weather has affected my mental.
Oh, yeah.
I get to the point where I get depressed about it, where it drags me down knowing that I have to deal with this stuff.
I get grumpy, especially after this last storm where we got the ice.
Yeah, we got
it. There's roads that are still not clear.
That was the thing. Like,
I was in the Target parking lot. There is an inch and a half of ice.
Yeah,
and it's like
it's tough.
Combined with potholes. So you've got it's like you're driving on some sort of slick moon surface.
Yep. And I don't even have a rocket launcher to shoot the aliens that are coming to get me.
You
it's crazy.
The worst part is the last couple weeks because we did hit 40 like 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
And so like everything melted. Like every street
everything was clear.
Was like was I could see blacktop.
And then we
everywhere.
Got the storm.
Right. And then we got what was effectively the worst storm of the season.
Yeah.
And it was because of those 40s that we have the roads are the way they are now.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything melted. So it's like, oh, there's, you know, all this wetness. Oh, now it's all freezing. Oh, now it's snowing around on top of it.
Oh,
Well, for me that day, and I have to tell you about something that I've determined, but that day that we got that sort of sleety ice and then the megastorm, I was out there shoveling that sleet as it was coming down. And my driveway is actually clear. I'm like one of the few. But I realized that...
Not me. I've got like 6 inches of compressed snow where we drive. But I have a north-facing driveway. It just never melts. I'm the last driveway to melt.
But I think about this, and you know, I have a neighbor across the way who I've seen him out there a few times, and he actually comments like, oh, I got to keep up with you because you're Mr. Perfect Driveway all the time. And I realized why that is because I feel so out of control with the weather, how it affects my life, that I have no control over it. The only thing that I can do to assert any sort of power in my life is to make sure that at least my driveway and my sidewalks mm-hmm. are as clean as they can be, as a big F you to the precipitate. I know that's stupid, but it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something.
And, I mean, you know that the cleaner you keep it, the easier it is to then to the next time to keep it clean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is my first winter with a house.
I was going to say, do you have a snowblower? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because you'd probably be dead if you didn't have one.
It is. My driveway is 86 feet long.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I have a long driveway just because the garage is set back so far. And
you have to have a snowblower.
It's double, you know, it's two cars wide the whole way.
How long does it take you to do 4 inches of snow?
To snowblow it?
Yeah.
A couple hours? 15 minutes?
15 minutes? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, it's a snowblow? You just, you know, drive it. 4 inches, fine. But, like, this last
one. 4 inches is fine. Nice.
Nice.
This last one where we got, you know, 10 inches or whatever, and it was, like, the heavy snow. Like, I think that one took about 2 hours. Plus, we had a neighbor that got stuck, so we helped her get out. But I was thinking, as I was using the snowblower, and, like, it conked out, and I didn't know how to when you refill it with fuel, you're not supposed to hit the choke again. Yeah. So I flooded it for an hour or something. It's fine. It all worked out. But I was like, during that hour, I was like, I'll just come back out. If it hadn't started back up, I could not shovel
the
whole thing.
You physically could not do it. Yeah.
Like mine, I often shovel. But I don't have a very long driveway. So.
Yeah. Still, it is a lot of work.
It's the best $200 I've ever spent in my entire
life.
Only
$200 for that, huh?
I was used. Okay. But, like, now, had I known, I thought it was going to be like the umbrella thing where, like, if I bought one, it wasn't going to snow.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm glad I got it, but when it dies, I'm getting, like, the top of the line.
Yeah, $1,000 for
whatever
my snowblower.
It costs. Yeah. I don't even care because it's just like, I'm going to remember this winter. It fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been a trying thing. And by the way, I did some research, and by doing research, I follow the National Weather Service, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they posted a graph that showed temperatures departure after each of the really bad winters, the top 10 winters, and then they showed what the temperature departure for spring and for summer of that year would be. And consistently across the board, temperatures are below average by 6 to 10 degrees.
Oh, the rest of the year?
For that spring, and then for summer, usually it's not quite as bad, but I think there was one summer where it just maybe was about average. So we probably will have below average temperatures well into spring.
I don't care about that.
And
as long as it's above freezing, I'm fine.
And probably precip, the trend doesn't follow quite as strongly, but precip tends to be a bit above average as well. So.
You know the classic question, what would you rather have, a really hot summer or a really cold winter? And I'd almost always answer a cold winter because I can always add more layers. Like, this has made me reconsider that.
I think I would take summer over winter, just because at least you can go outside, you know.
I run hot, so I take the cold winter, but I don't like the snow, so for me that's the hard part. I can deal with it being zero and below freezing and stuff like that. I don't have a problem.
I guess I would be the most part. If you had one or the other, it's easier to
deal with. If it was like that, like I wouldn't want to live in like northern Canada where it's, you know, just below freezing. Yeah.
Hell on earth, essentially.
Forever.
A frosty hell on earth.
I couldn't deal with that. And maybe you get used to it. I don't know.
I hate it.
Well, I think we have gotten used to it a little bit, where 19 degrees is warm.
Yeah.
I did get used to it, and then we had those 2 days in 40s.
Like, this is what it's like.
I can't fucking handle it anymore.
Wow,
I just,
what a champion.
Well, hopefully our coldest days are behind us, Adam.
Adam has it exactly right.
Thank you. Last question, and then we're moving on to coming soon. True Detective, guys. Is this a buyer?
A buyer?
Is this a good show? I expected this conversation to be one between Adam and myself. I didn't think that Jared would start watching it.
I'm 3 episodes in. So.
Yeah. I'm 6 episodes in. Adam is 6 episodes in.
Of the 8th.
Of the 8th.
Yep.
Is this not one of the best shows you've ever seen, Adam?
It is, and I don't know exactly why. But it is definitely the best show I'm watching right now. Hannibal is probably a close second.
Really? Wow.
People love Hannibal, Jared.
It is so good.
Okay.
They say watch
that
show.
Very similar in their, I don't know, quietness or something. It's hard to describe.
It's not big and in your face. It's just a lot of, there's an intensity to it.
Yeah. And you know what's been nice? Like with Lost, I definitely, even with Fringe, I definitely got into the, I got to read the internet. I got to see what people are. True Detective, I understand, like, a lot of people are doing that, but I don't care.
No.
I'm just kind of letting the show be the show. And it's, I like every single thing about it. I love watching that show. I feel sad when I realize it's been like 50 minutes and the show is going to be ending soon.
For those of you that don't know, True Detective is a show that takes place multiple time periods starting in about 1995 to modern day in the Bayou, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with two cops.
And Reggie Ledoux. Reggie Ledoux.
Played by Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. They are investigating a very creepy...
Possibly satanic
murder. They find this girl tied up to a tree with deer antlers and these weird, like, Blair Witch stick things. And so it ends up being the story of these detectives trying to find the cause of these murders, the people behind it. You find that Matthew McConaughey is a very strange cop who used to be deep undercover in the narcotics world, and Woody Harrelson's sort of a good old boy.
Yeah.
He's a loved cop, but he has his own dark secrets about relationships and stuff like that. Yeah.
And the structure is interesting because the actual case takes place in 1995, but then you cut to interviews in 2012 where they're playing older versions of themselves, and they start to fill in kind of the story, and apparently they had a falling out at some point.
Yeah, so you find out about this stuff.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey's character is this cold, smooth, super genius who is distinct.
He's not a genius.
He's distinctly different
in
1995 compared to how he is in 2012. This is how he talks.
He attributes his, you know, acumen almost to his, you know, visions and hallucinations.
Maybe, but I say he's smart. I don't care what he says. He's smart.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's a website that's got a lot of infographics about the characters and locations and all that stuff. It's called We Keep the Other Bad Men from the Door.com.
Sure. A lot of great lines in the show.
Go check that out. I haven't delved into it just because I don't want it to spoil because I'm not caught up yet, but it's really interesting.
You said you're three episodes in?
Yes.
You're in.
He's one short of.
You're one short of one of the most epic moments of history.
I hear episode four gets pretty crazy, so I've got that on tap, and I might watch it today.
It's like a Children of Men moment. That's how good it is.
That's what I've compared it to.
Well, episode three ends, I'm going to get into spoilers, I guess. I don't. Ends with kind of a reveal of who might be our big bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that slow motion walking scene with the gas mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah. The thing about this show is that Louisiana is a character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
And it's unbelievable. I mean, just number one, I would never want to live in Louisiana. Okay. Apparently, everything's close to a gasoline refinery. It's very frightening. It's beautiful and scary and haunted and eroded. It's just an incredible. I mean,
just a lot of texture.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like this is a $200 million movie. I mean, just how it is filmed and how it is put together. The acting is top-notch. It is a revelation in terms of how good it is. And and I don't know how they can do that, because True Detective 2, obviously, is going to come out.
I was just
going to
say, this first season is legendary. Yeah. It's already legendary. I think it's going to be regarded as one of the best miniseries ever. But the second season, it's an anthology. The second season is going to be like American Horror Story. It's to be a different story, different cast,
hopefully different characters. Place.
How do you follow this up?
Yeah.
I mean,
Judi Dench and Emma Thompson.
Right, it's got to be two ladies.
It's got to be two ladies.
I don't know.
Going to be very difficult, but B, it's like when you really look at it, there really isn't that much there, right? It's like, it's mostly...
It's all character and atmosphere.
So, as long as you're able
to... Well, it's building to something big, though.
Sure.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's really true. Yeah. I think a lot of people are putting too much on...
Okay.
I mean, it may or may not, but I don't think that's the point of the story. Yeah, right. The point of the story is these characters, and by characters, I also include Louisiana, as you said, and just sort of, the layers and the depth and everything that's going into it.
Yeah.
The story is there. It's just almost secondary, though.
Sure.
But I can't imagine anyone that is not Matthew McConaughey doing... like, that role
is
amazing. That and the fact
he's going to win an Oscar for this role,
like the fact that's
how good he might win an Emmy.
Oh, he will win it for sure. That's a lock.
Yeah,
but you have to keep in mind Woody Harrelson, awfully good.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
Woody Harrelson might be the underrated guy.
I'm enjoying him in his Jeff Daniels hair in 1995. Yeah.
Modern day Woody gets to have his hair exactly how it is.
Yeah,
especially when you look at Matthew McConaughey, like. Up to 18 months ago, just was doing mostly dumb rom-coms.
Yep.
And then Dallas Buyers Club and this.
He's turned it around.
He's just like, I feel like doing actual good work
for
a while.
And how I love how, I mean, things like how he holds a cigarette, how he lights a cigarette, because everything's smoking with this guy.
Yeah.
How he, you know, he'll push ashes off the table. And I'm just, there's certain things that he does and how his voice is different in 2012 versus how it is in 1995. I don't know if it's accidental. I don't know how he does it, but it is, he inhabits this guy so purely and so completely that it's amazing. It's amazing work. Suck it.
Now, I'd like to see him play someone who doesn't have a Southern drawl.
Yeah. But sometimes you do what you got to do.
I know, but it definitely plays into his strength. I mean,
Watch Contact, I guess.
Okay.
Go watch Contact.
I don't know if I can watch Contact now after what he has transformed himself into.
He was pretty good at Contact, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Go watch Fool's Gold.
Watch Fool's Gold.
Okay. I could definitely go back and watch Dazed and Confused because he's just a total character in that one. I think you had an idea of maybe what he could.
But he's always talking to the kid that keeps touching his nose the whole
time. It's very creepy.
I can't watch that.
Dazed and Confused is one of my top 10 all favorites.
So, Adam.
Yes.
Give us a final word on True Detective.
I think it's great. I'm pumped because Mandy didn't start watching it with me, but now she's heard me talk about it so much, she wants to. So once it's done, I'm going to rewatch it with her in the summer or something.
You can catch all of the little nuances.
We were about four episodes behind, and I finally just said to Carrie, we need to start watching the show. I'm hearing good things.
Yeah.
And we watched the first episode, and she was sort of like, eh. And then we watched the second episode, and then it was like a new episode every night until we got to the end. Two episodes we watched.
Yeah, it's been in the last few weeks where I've started online. People have been talking about it. So I was like, okay, I need to get on board.
Did you guys see the Unsolved Mysteries link?
No.
There's an episode of Unsolved Mysteries from back when that was on.
Sure.
That Matthew McConaughey was a character in one of the things.
Did he star with Tony Partington?
And he's playing a guy who's mowing a lawn like in Louisiana at a school. And so now people are like, they're using that. And it's just like, all right, maybe not. Probably not.
All right.
But it's just kind of a funny coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking for any notes. This was such a good nerd roundtable, guys. I have no notes. So let's wrap up the nerd roundtable, guys. Good job, fellas.
Yay.
That's how we do it.
Cheerio.
All right. I'm not going to play it. I'm done playing that sounder.
So what's next then?
I don't know. You're supposed to send us out.
All right.
We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Jared said it. He's the Yellow King. Jared's the Yellow King.
I don't know what that is yet.
We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope.
Under the Scope is here. Jared, I don't know if you heard. I just told Adam, we don't know what the Yellow King is either, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
No spoilers. I guess we've got a little thing called Coming Soon. Adam?
Yes?
We've got a lot of things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell us.
Some good ones here. Yeah. We've got a new album from 311.
Oh, boy!
Remember, do you guys
the color of your energy?
Do you guys remember the 311 controversy from the 90s?
What 311 meant or something?
Yeah, because the 11th letter of the alphabet is K, so 3 Ks is KKK.
Was there a smoke monster involved?
That is a perfect illustration of how human beings will just pattern hunt nonstop to find anything.
Yeah. 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
lizard men involved in it.
Obama is a lizard man.
Illuminati.
Architects UK have an album coming out. I don't know who that is. You know who they are?
It's a band.
Some band. And Elbow has an album coming out. Just trying real hard. If you guys noticed,
Like Elbow, by the way.
There's less bands with a "the" preceding the name now. That was like a big thing in the early 2000s. You know, the Strokes.
The Cars.
Now they're just going for
the Romantics.
Yeah, now it's just the
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Singular? Just The Britney Spear?
The Britney Spear. That actually is the name of my new band, The Britney Spear.
I like it.
We've got movies coming out as well this week. We've got a big one.
I'm writing that down.
Are you going to quit your old band before you start the new band?
What's my old band? I forget.
Don't know. I'm just saying, never mind.
Go ahead. The ex-Tina Aguilera.
So we have a video game adaptation coming out this week.
Ooh.
Let me guess.
All right.
Qbert. Not Qbert.
Minecraft.
No.
Yeah, that's coming years from now.
I'm thinking a little more old school.
But it's coming.
Elevator action.
Need for Speed.
Whoa. Oh,
Need for Speed.
I had that game.
Head passes, didn't go.
Aaron,
it's too cold to go, Jared.
There are some okay reviews happening.
I don't believe it for a second.
All right.
Now, how about for 2 seconds?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in.
Aaron Paul stars in this in his, I guess, first role since Breaking Bad ended.
Yeah.
He's the bitch guy from... I'm excited that Tyler Perry is getting into pornography with Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club.
Wow.
Tyler Perry just lost his big movie contract with a movie studio. They declined to renew with him, so he's on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that says.
He probably has enough money to start producing himself.
He is so rich, that guy. It's amazing.
And Bad Words from the makers of Bad Santa.
Shane and I will have seen that movie and by the time this is out.
It's a limited release, it says.
It is. I don't know if it's opening nationally next week. But
yeah, I don't know.
DVD and Blu-ray, we have The Book Thief, which I reviewed.
And you loved it.
I thought it was okay, and then I gave it like 3.5 stars or something.
Yeah, you were way off.
I don't know how reviews
work. Your headband's too tight.
Yeah, that's what happened. Homefront.
Your mustache.
Based on a video game also? Is this? Oh, yeah, it was.
I don't remember who's in this.
It's terrible.
It's somebody famous.
No, Homefront has Statham in it. Isn't it?
Oh, that one.
I think so.
Is that with...
came out like around Thanksgiving.
That's with the Green Lantern, or the Goblin, right? What's his face?
The guy
got his arm cut off in that movie.
What? We're looking it up. Yeah, Franco.
Yeah,
Statham and Franco.
Jamie Franco. I mean, that's a combo that I've been screaming for in movies for years.
With Kate Bosworth and Winona Ryder.
You know what's a shame? Jason Statham was in that cool bank robbery movie. It was like based on a true story. It was like set in the 80s. I can't think of what it's called now. But
Forrest Gump.
Transporter 3.
No. But
Crank?
Crank 2. Crank is also a legitimately good
Crank is
good,
so insane. That, yeah, it is. You're definitely right. It's a good, bad movie.
But he was in...
Never saw Crank 2, though.
The Mechanic? Was that it?
That might be it.
Anyway, it was good. It was like a legit good movie. And then he just plays these dumb things.
He's a brand.
Yeah,
he's
right.
A brand.
He does all right. I don't know if Homefront was the right
he's
movie
like
for
Campbell's
him.
He's like Campbell's Soup.
I mean, he's great in Snatch.
Tomato.
And then this is the
Lock,
weirdest.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Mechanic 2 is coming, apparently.
Excellent. So the weirdest DVD and Blu-ray release this week is a movie that's based on a video game that's based on a movie.
And it's based on the novel Push by Seth.
Lego Star Wars, the Yoda Chronicles. So they turned Lego Star Wars. Why not just... What are they doing?
It's just like a Star Wars adventure with Legos. I've seen some of them on the Cartoon
Network.
Is
this because they knew the Lego movie would be big?
No, this came out well before that.
Okay. And video games, we've got Dark Souls 2.
People are talking
PS3
about it.
PS3 and 360. Man, I played Dark Souls 1.
It
is a hard game.
I don't want
some people
hard
just really get into it. I just, it's not, I'm too old.
I like easy games. I have so many games now. They say, what difficulty level would you like?
You said it's easy?
I want easy. So I put everything on easy.
You want to play the story?
Yeah.
You want to see what they worked out.
You should see how many games I have lined up.
Aren't games easier these days than they used to be?
They definitely are.
That's
fine
with me.
So maybe you should just pick
harder. I usually play normal, unless it's too hard. But
right.
That's what's coming soon, but we have one more thing.
I'll let you introduce it, since this is a new hot thing right now.
Sure.
Go ahead.
We have a new segment, newish segment.
Not really.
We've been doing it for a while. It's just new and improved.
I don't pay attention when you guys do it, so I thought I'm the only one.
So it's once every three episodes.
And that is our Hit It or Miss It. Oh, I thought you were...
Hit it or miss it. Hit up the week.
I haven't had a chance to edit it yet.
Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
What's the full lyric?
What?
What's the full lyric? Hit it or miss
it. Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week.
Oh, okay. I like it, Jared. That's smart.
That's as clever as I could come up with.
I like
if you
it.
Have alternate lyrics, I will gladly record
no,
them.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
The Bank Job is the movie I was thinking of, by the way. Jason Statham movie.
So that movie about a bank job.
The bank job.
Yeah.
Jared.
What?
It's your turn. For.
No, I won't do it again. Hey, I'm picking a hit this week, and I spoiled it earlier, and we talked a bunch about it in the B block. It is the brand new mech fighting game, Titanfall, available on your Xbox and PC this week, and your Xbox 360 in a few weeks. I think it looks very cool. I'm actually tempted to buy it. We'll see. I know you guys have played the beta and you loved it.
You're gonna get, if you do get it, you're gonna get it on PC.
I would get it on PC. Yes.
I'll be your Origin friend.
Oh, I'd have to set up an Origins account.
You do have to set up an Origins account.
All right. I'll consider it.
All right.
He'll consider it.
So there you go. Titanfall. Look it up. I'm sure everyone has. If you're into games, you're aware of what Titanfall is, and we just talked about it.
It's got the word "tit" in it. It's gonna sell huge.
It's got it's got the letters A and F in it. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, not many words do.
All right.
I'm gonna write that down. Letters A and F. All right, there we go. In the official notes.
Great.
So there we go.
Yep.
Coming soon is done.
Under the scope.
And guess what's coming up next?
It is the comments block, otherwise known as the D block.
Jared,
we've got comments.
You said weeks ago that we had comments for every show.
We do. This one is actually a voicemail that was. It's in regards to episode 164.
Okay, hard. But we need a flowchart to keep track. But
it was. We had already had a voicemail on that one, and I want to keep it. This is from Luke. He's commenting on our discussion of the Rescue Rangers movie.
This is Luke's first comment from 164.
Right, here we go. That.
Not a second.
Hey guys, it's Luke C. Calling in because I actually have something to say. I tend to not leave comments unless I actually have a coherent thought. So if I ever don't leave a comment, it's just because I don't want to waste your time. Anyway, as far as the Disney afternoon cartoons are concerned, I agree with Adam that I would much rather see Disney doing some kind of full-length animated feature of DuckTales, or even better, Darkwing Duck, because I really love that show a lot. However, even though I wasn't really into Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers as much as those other shows back in the day, I have to kind of call up and defend it a little bit because Adam was making some comments to the effect of, you know, it was the not-beloved show, Chip 'n Dale's Rescue Rangers, as if it was something on the screen that wasn't popular. That show was popular as hell back when it was on. And just to
go to the records.
Facts there, including the Disney Afternoon run of the show, it went from 1989 to 1993. It lasted three seasons and had 65 episodes. There was a Capcom video game based on it. There is a roller coaster built at Disney World in the Mickey's Toontown area called Gadget Go Coaster, based on Gadget from the show, which still runs to this day. So, even though I haven't done much with it besides release it on DVD in the past several
years,
it's kind of been a property in waiting, and I'm not surprised at all that with the success of the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie,
Jared, stick your hand in your camera and then
like
make
this.
It go all the way through. No,
I'm not nearly as excited for the prospect of the Chip 'n Dale's Rescue Rangers movie as I would be if it were, you know, Darkwing Duck. But I'm hoping that if this goes well and it is successful, maybe it'll
we're gonna get that one to work.
DuckTales or Darkwing Duck getting a new, you know, animated feature or something. So, anyway, just wanted to throw that out there, and if you're interested in hearing me and other people talk about cartoon stuff, listen to Kyle and Luke Talk About Toons podcast, kyleandluke.com, or search for Kyle and Luke Talk About Toons on iTunes. Talk to you all later. Peace.
Thanks, Dan Taylor from England.
No.
What'd he say? We're too busy doing fun.
He said I'm wrong and that Rescue Rangers was popular.
Okay. Well, I think Luke is right. I think you're always wrong, and this is especially...
Yeah. Rescue Rangers was popular, and Luke pointed out the many ways that it was popular. He also managed to slip in a plug for his Kyle and Luke Talk About Cartoons podcast. If you missed that, it was kyleandluke.com. Check it out.
He's so sneaky.
That's right. I'll always plug anything Luke has because he contributes to the show.
He does.
If you contribute to the show, you get a plug. If you have something to plug.
That's why Jared won't plug my stuff.
Never.
I would. You have a creative project? You have a Kickstarter, an Indiegogo?
I'm actually kickstarting my new Kickstarter replacement.
Oh! Well, isn't that meta?
Jared, is that all our comments for
that
today?
Is our comments.
Okay. So wrap this thing up.
If you'd like to call in, leave a comment yourself, about how wrong Adam is, you can call in at 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. You can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. All those links are on the website at thescopeshow.com. Yes. Come on, Adam. Hang in there with us.
Come on, Adam.
Did you not have your coffee this morning?
Good thing we only record one show a day, guys.
Yeah. Good thing. It's a good thing. You can also watch these episodes. You can see the crazy things that Shane and I were doing during Luke's call.
They were good.
At youtube.com/thescopeshow. Subscribe. Like this episode. You know, do what you got to do. We're up to 59 subscribers, guys. We just picked up a couple more this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we lost 18, so what are you going
to
do?
And if you'd like to support us directly... Hold on a second. If you'd like to support us directly...
How do you do that, Jared?
You go over to the computer and you wake it up. There we go. All right. You can go to patreon.com/thescopeshow. That link's also on the website. And it is a service where you can pledge a fixed number of dollars per episode, and you can put a monthly cap on it. You can cancel any time, but what you're doing by joining Patreon is you are showing to the world that you support what we do by giving us a couple dollars a month.
You can start at $100 an episode.
Yes.
Minimum. Yeah. Yes.
Minimum.
So small amounts can do big things if we get a bunch of people to do it. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind and you appreciate
Jared and
what
Adam
we're doing,
get an Xbox One for Titanfall.
No. Any money you give us goes directly back into the show.
Think about this. If we all get Xbox Ones,
we
can group up and play that, and we can use the new Twitch streaming into it, and that'll be content for podcast for the website.
Sure.
Done deal. Thanks, guys.
That's all I got.
All right, so let's wrap this thing up. Jared Adam, thank you for participating, and to our listeners and watchers, we'll be back next week with another scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying good night. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.